How do you get to Carnegie Hall? The old joke goes. Practice. Well, New York's Carnegie Hall has a plan to renovate the two red brick towers above its concert hall, turning what are now studios and apartments into classrooms and rehearsal space to promote and expand music education. But the residents, some of whom have lived there for more than 50 years, are not leaving without a fight. They've gone to court, NPR's Margot Adler reports.
As you climb the creaky steps to photographer Joseph Astor's studio, you could be, well, here's what he says.
It is exactly like a set from the Opera La Boheme. It's got the pitched ceiling 20 feet up there and a northern-facing skylight with a beautiful light washing in. In fact, let me open it up for you.
Oh, my. So you have these huge sort of skylight windows.
Isn't that terrific?
The north and south tower of Carnegie Hall once had some 160 studios and apartments. Now there are about 50, including seven rent-controlled tenants, some commercial studios, and some residents who pay market rates. Many of the rooms have spectacular light, and a number of them, like Joseph Astor's, sit right on top of Carnegie Hall's main concert hall. There are quirky aspects to the building. You navigate a couple of steps, and the eighth floor suddenly becomes the sixth floor. The 14th floor becomes the 12th.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Thank you.
It's a little messy. I'm sorry about that.
It looks like an antique shop. I enter an apartment that looks like a museum with memorabilia, plaques, statues, paintings from floor to ceiling, and the ceiling is more than 30 feet high. In the middle of this glorious clutter is a grand piano.
I'm Donald Shirley. I'm a concert pianist. I have been residing here since about 1955. You see this picture of Duke Ellington and me and Lena Horne? This was in 1955. Downstairs, that picture was taken in my dressing room.
He points to pictures of him with Paul Robeson, a replica from the King Tut exhibit given to him, he says, by Madame Anwar Sadat, on and on. As a rent-controlled tenant, he says he has to fight Carnegie Hall's plans to evict him.
It's the only home I've known all of my adult life. And for many years, this was very much like an artist colony. I think it's unconscionable that artists don't have a place anymore.
Shirley is 80 and is in poor health and relies on his neighbors for help. His doctor wonders if he could even live independently in a different kind of place. And at 80, he still plays. Clive Gillinson, the executive and artistic director of Carnegie Hall, says they will do everything they can for the seven rent-controlled tenants, what they are required to do by law, and even more.
We will find them alternative accommodation that is at least as good, if not better. We will guarantee to underwrite any difference in rent. Somehow we have to balance what is Carnegie Hall's commitment to the society at large in which we live, and how do we look after the individuals who are affected by that?
As in any complicated legal fight, there are opposing stories. The tenants have heard there will be a gut renovation, but Gillinson says some of the better studios will be saved. Tenants have received eviction notices. Gillinson says tenants don't have to leave the building until March 2008, but tenants say that guarantee is only if they don't take legal action. Photographer Joseph Astor.
A few tenants may have signed that to guarantee they had enough time. And the other tenants, like me, I'm hoping, with their feet firmly planted on these beautiful hardwood floors, are going to say, we're not leaving. In fact, I've heard older tenants say, they're going to have to carry me out of here.
The tenants went to court and got a temporary restraining order, preventing Carnegie Hall from taking action until September 17th. The tenants argue that Carnegie Hall, which has leased the building from New York City since 1960, is required to rent space to artists. Carnegie Hall says the towers were built to create income to further the mission of Carnegie Hall and that they are legally in the clear.
There is no obligation to rent in the lease. The only issue is if we choose to rent, there are certain things about, you know, whether one offers it to artists first. Now, what we're talking about is totally the central mission of Carnegie Hall, which is how we serve our communities with music.
At bottom, this is a war between opposing goods. Clive Gillinson says Carnegie Hall wants to create a space that will provide music education for the children of New York City, expanding programs that already serve 115,000 people. He says he understands the emotional difficulty. These are people's homes. Despite that, he says,
there actually is a wider mission about public service that we feel in the end, has to be the thing that weighs more heavily.
But for architect Todd Williams, who has lived here with his wife and son, the fight is not just about keeping his home. It's between two visions of the arts. One celebrates a mixed community. One is a single vision.
The community that is dedicated solely to music education, which is a noble cause, but it also will lose some of the rich texture that has always been part of the building. That character will be lost.
Carnegie Hall says it wants to take the hall into the 21st century, ensuring music and performance will be as important in the future as it has been in the past. But the tenants mention the ghosts of Marlon Brando, Leonard Bernstein, Isadora Duncan, and the many who have lived here, saying the loss of an artistic community will be mourned. Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.